When Pastor Barry asked me if I could speak today or preach, I thought, okay, thank God for the opportunity. I prayed about it and I was able to say yes. And of course, when I have opportunity to speak like this, I just think first, you know, Lord, what do you really want me to share? Because honestly, I can stand before you and I can share a lot of things. I can tell you anything. But I just really like to know, Lord, what do you really, really want me to share? And, you know, for 2-3 days, I was praying with Yana. I'm saying, you know, I felt this. I talked about that. I talked about that. And honestly, I could come and share all of those with us today. But just on Thursday evening, I was going through my normal Bible reading. And this came into my mind. Go in peace. Go in peace. You are well. You'll be made whole. And I start thinking, Lord, do you really want me to? Because my plan was to speak on 1 Samuel. In fact, I've got the message prepared. But I think God has got a different plan. And I think he knows what we need. Sometimes we don't even know what we need. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. But he helps us. So I just want to give us a little bit of backdrop. What has happened before we go to the scripture. In Luke chapter 8, we see in verse 22-25 what had happened about the wind and the wave, and Jesus was going through in the boat, and there was this lot of turmoil going on, and they said to Jesus, do you not care that we perish? And Jesus spoke to the wind, and they said, oh, who is this man? Even the wind and the wave obey him. And if you read down, if you go to verse 26-39, we read about the madman, I call him madman of Gadarene, who has, you know, kept cutting himself. He couldn't live with anyone. He was living in a tomb and he couldn't live with any man anymore. So we can see the backdrop even before that, if you read from verse 12, how there are a lot of multitude that have been around Jesus to the extent that the mother and the brother was trying to reach him. But they couldn't. I just want to let you to know what has happened before here. And it says Jesus returned and the multitudes welcomed him. So it shows us that there is a lot of people around Jesus. And we've seen that through the scripture, how he teaches the multitudes. Sometimes they're even pressing on him. And one of those examples is what we are going to read this morning. And in verse 40, when Jesus returned, the multitude, they welcomed him and they were waiting for him. So basically, they were waiting for Jesus to arrive, as it were. But there is something I want to point out to us in verse 41. And there was a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue. So there is a man who is popular. There is a man who is known. Because it's quite interesting what I found there about scripture. Sometimes some people are known, some people are popular, sometimes some people are not. It's like Elijah, the Tishbite. We haven't got his record. We don't know where he's come from. The Bible just said the Tishbite. It just called him by his tribe. And we saw the great things the Lord did. And yet, the Lord used popular people, people that we know their history. For example, here is Jairus, a popular man, known to be the leader of the synagogue. And he came to Jesus. But I just want us to have a picture of the scenario in our mind. This is an event that happened and recorded in the Bible. So Jesus arrived. There were a lot of people all around him. They just welcomed him. And there are a lot of people expecting something from Jesus. But it just shows us how much this man was known and respected. That he had the opportunity to be the first one, as it were, to speak to Jesus. And says, Jesus, can you help me? My daughter, my holy daughter, who is 12 years old, she's dying. So, but we saw something about the attitude of this man. He fell before Jesus. It wasn't too big. And I think sometimes when we are desperate, we do things. And I say to people, I know people say to me, oh, never get desperate. But I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, there's nothing wrong about desperation itself. But what is wrong is what we do when we are desperate. Some people, desperation makes them cry out to God. Some people, desperation makes them move away from God. So here is a man who is desperate, like any parent would be, who has got a 12-year-old daughter dying and came to the one who knows he has life, who knows who can give life. He said to Jesus, come, help me. My daughter is dying. And Jesus was going, as it were, to heal the daughter. He said, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Please, forgive me if I don't pronounce that word right, but I've checked the meaning, what it means to throng someone. Basically, it means somewhere that is crowded, densely populated. So people were like shoving each other. Probably some have even shoved Jesus and the disciples. You can just imagine. I'm just trying to paint the picture for us. You know, I've been in events, I've been at occasions where people are like literally bumping into each other. You can't even see a meter ahead of you. Everyone is around you. Especially if you go to a football stadium and when there is a goal, everyone just, you know, the way it happens. So everyone was around Jesus, thronging in. People bumping into Jesus. But we read in verse 43, now there is a woman. You would think, why did you tell us first about Jairus and about how popular he was? This is why. We were told there is a woman. We don't know her name. We don't know her history. Basically, she's got no position. She's not known. So I just want to show you something. Jesus is available for the big and for the small. Jesus is available for the rich and for the poor. Whoever you are, wherever status you have, whether you are known or maybe nobody even knows you, Jesus is available to everyone. So here is a woman. We are not told her name. We've got no idea what her name is. In fact, as we continue to read, we will see she was nobody. But here is my Jesus, available for Jairus, a man who is popularly known in the temple. And here is my Jesus, available for a woman whom probably nobody knows. And it carries on. This woman had been having a flow of blood for 12 years, and she has spent all her livelihood on doctors or physicians and could not be healed by any. So here is a woman who has spent all she had to be healed, to be well. She had a flow of blood for a good 12 years. I think we men, we might not understand very much. I think women might appreciate this a little bit more because they know what it means to have a period cycle. And it's not for 12 years, it's for in a short period. But imagine a woman that's been going through this for a good 12 years. Imagine what she would have suffered. Imagine what the state of her life would be. In fact, imagine what her appearance would be, what she would look like, how she would be feeling. And we know, you know, it's very easy for us this day because we don't really know in history what it really means for that woman in that time. So according to the law of the Jew, she would have been unclean. According to the law, she would be unclean. Wherever she touches becomes unclean. So basically, nobody can invite her to their house. Because if she comes into your house, basically you become unclean. And everyone in the household. I just want to paint the picture and tell us the background of what this woman might have been through at that point in time. And she was isolated. Of course, nobody wants to associate with her. And sometimes, you know, we feel isolated. Sometimes we feel far away. Sometimes we feel like we're alone. And wherever we fail, I can guarantee you this woman failed. Whatever difficulty, you know, we have, I can guarantee you this woman, she went through it. And there's something we found out about this woman as we carry on. It says, the woman came from behind in verse 44, and she touched the border of the garment of Jesus, and immediately a flow of blood stopped. So here is a scenario happening. This is a miracle within miracle. Jesus was going to heal Jairus' daughter, and there was a woman who has been rejected for 12 years, who has been isolated for 12 years. She came through the crowd. We heard that people were thronging on each other, thronging on Jesus. He's so populated. She made her way through. And she touched the hem, the edge of the garment of Jesus. And she was made whole. And immediately, the Bible says, not some minutes after, immediately, instantly, the flow of the blood stopped. What can we learn from this woman before we carry on? Number one, we can see she was patient. And patience is very key if you're going to walk with Jesus. Patience is very key if you're going to see miracles. You know, God doesn't work in our own timing. God works in his own timing because God is not bound by time. You know, before men, we ask so much, oh, it's 2 hours already, or I've got to go to this, or I've got to do that. But with God, it's not bound by time. He created time in the first place. So this woman, she suffered a lot. She's been through a lot of things, but there's something we found in her. She was saying, I want to be made whole. I need to be well. I can't continue like this. It's been 12 years already. But she was waiting on the Lord. Can I just encourage us that irrespective of what we are going through or how difficult the situation may seem, do not give up on God. Is there something you are trusting God for? Is there something you've been praying about? Is there something probably you've even fasted about? Is there something you've been for years? It's almost like, Lord, this is not moving. Lord, nothing is happening. Lord, it seems blank. Can I just encourage you this morning? Do not give up on God. Keep pressing in. Tarry in the presence of God. Wait patiently for him. You know, we read in Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings as eagles. They shall run and not weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Those that wait upon the Lord. Second thing we learn about this woman, she had the courage to seek help. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't be afraid to seek help. Do not be afraid to say to someone, can you pray with me about a particular thing? Don't be afraid to say to someone, do you have any ideas you can give to me about this particular issue? You know, sometimes what we go through, people have gone through it. I remember there was a pastor that was preaching, and she was praying, and he was praying about a particular thing for years, and it seems nothing was happening. So he spoke to a pastor colleague, and he said, I'll take you to a senior pastor. So they went to the senior pastor, and when he got there, the pastor said, go and do this, go and do this, go and do that. And he said, oh, I'm expecting you to pray for me and something would happen. He said, no, go and do this, go and do this. And when you've done that, that will be solved. He said, but if I go back to my wife, because this man has traveled, and my wife says to me, oh, what happened? My wife would say, did he not even pray for you? No, he didn't pray. He just basically told him what to do. The man went back, this young pastor went back, did what he needed to do, and there was solution. So this young man came back to the senior pastor excited. He said, "You can't believe it. I did what you asked me to do. And now that problem is solved." Do you know what the senior pastor said to him? He said, "About 15 years ago, I was in that exact position where you were. And that was what I did." So sometimes our prayer, our answer to prayer, might be the person sitting next to us. This young pastor has been praying for years for that particular matter. Nothing happened. But God brought him in contact with a different man of God, told him what to do. He did it. Problem solved. Sometimes you don't know who is sitting next to you. They may have some wisdom into a particular matter. Do not be afraid to seek help. She wasn't afraid. She had the courage to seek help. And let me encourage us. Look, sometimes we think, "I don't want to ask men," which is fine if you don't feel comfortable. But you know, ultimately, our help does not come from man. Yes, God uses men, but ultimately our help is from Him, from God. Because David said, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." So, irrespective of what state we are, even when we think people are helping us, yes, I'm not saying God doesn't use people, but ultimately your help is from God. So have the courage, seek help. This woman, she looked for help. She was desperate and she did something with her desperation, was to walk through the crowd and have a touch. And this woman, she chose to have faith over fear. If you read, because the same account is recorded in Matthew 9, the same account is recorded as well in Mark chapter 5. But if you read in Matthew 9, the woman said to herself in verse 21, she said, "Only if I will touch his garment, the hem of his garment, I will be made well." So she had this faith. "I just need to touch." Now sometimes we have a faith of a child, which is the greatest faith anyway. The faith of a child is amazing. The way they speak to you, the way they tell you things, you think, "Oh yeah, daddy, you are going to buy that for me, wouldn't you?" And you think, "I haven't got the money." But they've got that faith, they've got that belief, that confidence. "You will buy it." They say, "Yeah, I will buy it." You know, the faith of a child and the simplicity in their faith. You know, my daughter never came up to me one day and said, "Daddy, are we going to have breakfast today?" She just knows she's going to have breakfast. Whether, you know, it's porridge or whatever, she just knows that will be breakfast. She's never worried one day to say, "Oh, mommy, are we going to have dinner?" Because she knows mommy is an amazing cook. She's just going to cook something that will have something on the table to eat. So basically, they have that belief, that simplicity. Let's not complicate it. Let's not make it difficult. No. Let's keep it simple. Just a simple faith. "Only if I will touch Jesus, something will happen to me. I know I will be healed." She had that faith. I just want to ask you this morning, do you have faith for either a small thing or for big things? In Mark 9:23, we read, "All things are possible to them that believe." Sometimes the mountain seems unmovable. Sometimes the problem seems unsolvable. Like this woman, she spent all she had, all her livelihood. That shows us she must be in a poor state, because all the money she's had, she spent it. So she's a very poor woman. So sometimes we go through things. Sometimes there are situations in our lives and we think, "Lord, I've done all I could. I've seek help. I've looked around. I've read about it. I've spoken to the doctors. I just have to accept it." But this woman, she didn't. She had a faith, "If I would touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. The woman was persistent. She had to push through the crowd. It wasn't easy. Because we read Jesus was surrounded by a crowd. Crowd means crowd. They were shoving at each other, but yet she was persistent. I just need to get to him. I just want to ask us today, are we persistent enough? Do we give up too easily? Do we think, but I've tried it, but I've done this, and we give up? You remember about the persistent widow? What Jesus said about the woman? She keeps coming back. She keeps coming back. The judge said, all right, I will solve your problem and then I need to rest. There is something about persistency. And God honors that. And I came from a background where you had to be persistent with God. I came from a background where you had to put faith and trust in God. Because, you know, Lord, if you don't do it, there is no any other solution. I've been in situations in my life that I've said to Jesus, Lord, if you don't turn up, if nothing happens, I'm finished. I'm in trouble. And just in time, he turns up. And just in time, the miracle happens. I came from a place where we haven't got NHS. You've got a private hospital, individually owned by rich guys. Or you've got a government hospital where if you go in, you come out worse than you went in. I just wanted to know a little bit of the background where I came from. So if you were in my situation growing up, I didn't have the money to go to a private hospital. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford going to a private hospital. Private care is a lot of money. So I grew up as a little boy, as a little child, as a whole family, trusting God for healing. So even if I've got headache, the first thing I think about is not paracetamol. You won't believe it. I don't think about paracetamol first. I think about, Lord, you need to heal me. How much more if I got serious things? The first thing I do is, Lord, you need to help me. And this is the way I grew up. And this has been my life. Because I know I didn't have that luxury. I can't just call the doctors and say, or can I just call 999? That's why sometimes we make joke with Yana when I see some young guys, you know, messing about on their bike on the road. I'm thinking, well, you know, they know when they fall, somebody will call the 999. And immediately, ambulance is there to pick them up. Where I came from, there is no 999. If you do, there is no one that will answer your call. So if you grew up in such a background, yeah, you will know, okay, there are some things I can do, some things I can't do. So I came from a place where I wholly had to trust in God for my well-being, for my health. I had to trust God and, Lord, watch over me as I go out so that I will come back. Because in reality, I know I may not come back. Very dangerous environment. You know, assassins, hired killers, people, you know, you think they like you, they don't really like you. Anything can happen to you. Where I came from, in Nigeria, there is Boko Haram. We are still going through that. There are mad people that just turned up in the church, shoot people. They can just turn up in your village while you are sleeping, start shooting at people. So you are not guaranteed the next hour where I came from. And, you know, it's very easy to take it for granted. Because last time I challenged myself, when was the last time I prayed, Lord, as I go out, help me to come back? And this is a prayer I will pray every single day in Nigeria. But recently, I haven't prayed that. And God says to me, you are taking things for granted now, yeah? You think you can just go out and just come back? And I'm going to the shop. Yeah. But here is a woman, she was persistent. Persistency is very key. To move on, this woman had expectation. And her expectation is, I will be made well. I just want to ask you this morning, do you have expectations? You know, when we come to meet with Christ, when we come to meet with God, as we are this morning, listen, our gathering is not unto men. Our gathering is not unto any woman. Our gathering is unto God. Now we've gathered unto the Lord. Do you have expectations? If I may ask you, is there something you are expecting God to do for you today, now, this moment, this day, as you come to meet with him? This woman, she had expectation. And as we carried on in verse 45, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And everyone denied it. And Peter and those with him said, "Master, look, there is a multitude here. There are a lot of people." And he said, "Who touched you?" Jesus said to me, "Someone touched me." Of course, yes, someone touched you because everyone has been touching you. But that was not what Jesus was saying. There is a touch with purpose. So I don't know whether you've come to Christ this morning with a purpose. When you meet with God, do you touch Christ with a purpose? Do you meet with him with a purpose? This woman, she just didn't touch. Of course, a lot of people were touching Jesus. They were bumping onto him, bumping onto each other. But this wasn't this woman. She touched with a purpose. So I just want to ask you, do you seek God with a purpose? Do you touch him with a purpose? Or are you just like the crowd? You just want to see what's happening. Oh, here is Jesus. Oh, this is what he's done. This is what he can do. But what has he done for you? What are you expecting him to do for you? That is a question. Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived there is power going out of me." Now, when the woman saw that there was nobody coming up, nobody was saying anything, this woman, she made herself known. And basically, she gave her testimony. And this is what Jesus does to any man. Because this is what he's done in my life, and I'm sure he's done in your own lives as well. When you come in contact with Jesus, here is a woman that has been eating for 12 years. And all of a sudden, she had an audience. She had a crowd. And she gave her testimony. Each of us, we have our testimonies. And what Christ does is, he picks us from that state where we are unseen, unnoticed, pushed aside, isolated. It brings us to a place where people listen to us. This is a woman nobody would have recognized. Nobody would have even taken notice of. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, oh, that must be frightening for this poor lady who has suffered for 12 years, and then all of a sudden there is this multitude around her, and she had to speak. I'm thinking, I'm not surprised she was afraid to come out. I'm not surprised at all. In fact, if I was a woman, I may not be able to even speak at all, knowing what has happened to her. And she gave her testimony and how she was healed immediately. But even in that, there is a purpose. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So something happened to this lady. She had a double blessing. If she hadn't come out, we heard already the problem has been stopped, which was the flow of the blood. But there was something more. Jesus wanted to bless her more. Jesus reaffirmed her in the public. Basically, Jesus took her back to her rightful position. Jesus said, "Stand here. I want all this crowd, all these people, they've looked down on you. Even some of them don't even know you. But stand here, speak, let them hear. And as from this day, you become recognized as one of them. You are no more pushed aside. You are no more living in isolation." So Jesus restored her back to her rightful place. And this is what he wants to do with you and I. This is what he's doing in people's life even today. We have people who are drug addicts. We have people who were homeless. We have people who were in terrible state. And Jesus brought them out. He polished them up and he set them high for his own glory. So this is what Jesus did with this woman. Jesus reinstated her back to her rightful place. And Jesus stood her out from the crowd. She was hidden for 12 years. Jesus changed her timidity to strength. From someone who has been hidden for 12 years to someone speaking to the crowd and everyone was listening. You know, we read in Romans 10:10. He said, with someone's mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So sometimes when we proclaim things out, it reaffirms it. So that's why sometimes when I pray, even by myself, I pray out loud. If there was one thing I learned from my mother, that was it. And as a young boy, I don't really care. I'm not even interested in her prayer. But there's something about my mother. She never prays quietly. She prays out loud. I'm thinking, who is this woman? You know, go and pray. I don't want to hear your prayers. Sometimes as a little boy, you're running around and you can hear her in her room praying. And I just want to go away, like, pray quietly. But there is something that I learned. When you pray, she prayed out loud. I heard every single word she was praying. Praying for me, praying for her children. And sometimes, even now, I say to her, I said, do you still pray out loud? I said, of course I do. That's how I grew up. And it's a great thing when we confess things with our mouth. Yes, I'm not saying God doesn't hear us when we pray quietly. Yes, he does hear us. I'm not saying he doesn't at all. But something happens to me even when I pray out loud. It's almost like I'm speaking into my own spirit. I'm speaking into my own being. I'm making a confession about myself. It's like my ears are listening to me. And my body and soul and mind is realigning itself into that God's purpose. So I just want to encourage you. I'm not saying, you know, we should all, but perhaps you need to pray out loud when you pray, even in your own quiet time. You don't know who is listening. And I listened until today. That impacted my life. And this was my mother. She prays out loud. And I listened to her prayers. And I can tell you, most of the prayers she prayed today has been answered. And we carry on in verse 49. While Jesus was still speaking, he hasn't finished speaking to the lady. Somebody came and said, oh, do not bother the teacher. They said to Jairus, your daughter have died. And look at what Jesus said immediately. But when Jesus heard that report, in verse 50, he answered him, saying, do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. So when we are afraid, when we hear that bad news, when we hear that news that frightens us, this is what Jesus is saying to you today. Do not be afraid, only believe. In that situation, what you've been told, what you've been diagnosed, whatever it is that you've been told, Jesus is saying to you this morning, do not be afraid, only believe. That is a requirement. Only believe. And when Jesus came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. But he said, do not weep. She's not dead. She's only sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. And I'm thinking, Jesus, when you know the girl was dead, why did you say she was sleeping? This is how I read the Bible. I question as I read. And sometimes God gives me the answer. or I have the understanding, because really, who am I to question God's word? You know, I've always said to myself, the first time I became a believer, I became born again, I said to myself, Lord, I have many questions. I'm waiting when I get to heaven. I've got a lot of questions to ask. I've got a lot of things that I seem not to understand. And I have this mindset, continue my journey of faith. And one day, it's almost like I got an answer. And get what the answer was. I felt in my spirit, you will be so excited, you won't have any question. I'm thinking, oh, that's great. At least I'll forget about all the questions. That will be better, actually. So you'll be so happy that, Lord, I'm here. Where is this place? Heaven. You wouldn't have any question. And by then, anyway, every question will be resolved. So here is Jesus saying, the girl is not dead. She's sleeping. Why did you say she's sleeping? When literally she's dead. If you remember, the same thing happened with Lazarus. They were said to him, the one whom you love is dead. He said to his disciples, he was sleeping. He said, no, actually, he's dead. So Jesus knew the lady was dead. The girl, 12-year-old, was dead. And people ridiculed Jesus. Oh, what are you talking about? She's dead. We saw it. We were there. We confirmed it. We know it. And this is what Jesus specializes in. When everyone says it's finished, Jesus says there is hope. When people say the road is finished, Jesus says, I will make a way. He said, in the desert, I will make a way. He says, rivers in the desert will you see. So Jesus specializes in the impossible. This is what he wants to do in my life. This is what he wants to do in your life. What are those situations that seems dead, as it were? And everyone confirmed, yes, that situation is dead. But Jesus is telling you, do not worry. Do not be afraid. I have a purpose even in that. But when he pulled all outside, he took them by the hand. He took the girl by the hand and said to the little girl, arise. Then a spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but Jesus said to them, tell no one what had happened. So Jesus, attending to one, does not neglect another. Jesus, attending to one, does not neglect another. You know, I love that song very much, so much. While on others you are calling, please do not pass me by. Jesus is out today looking for people, calling people. But Lord, while you are doing that, do not pass me by. That was almost the prayer of this woman. While you are going to Jairus' house, while you are going to bring that 12-year-old back to life, here I am for 12 years. Please do not pass me by. This is my moment. This is my time. Please do not pass me by. That was the cry and the prayer of the woman. And truly, Jesus never passed her by, because we read that she's made whole. And even in a delay, I wonder what must have happened to Jairus when they said to her, don't bother with Jesus, your daughter is dead. You know, as a parent, I wonder what must have been going through his mind at that point in time. If somebody tells me, oh, look, don't bother to pray, your daughter has just died. Don't bother to do something, she's just died. His face must have fallen. He must have thought, ah, Jesus, only if you could come earlier. You know, only if that woman doesn't interrupt you, isn't it? Only if that woman, you know, doesn't stop and you were having this conversation and restoring her back to her place, maybe my daughter will have been well. But Jesus, with Jesus, delay doesn't mean he's not going to do it. The fact that you've been praying, you've been hoping, you've been trusting God for something and it never came, it doesn't mean he's not going to do it. Trust in God's timing. He said, though it tarry, wait for it, it shall come. If he said it, he will do it. And we serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful Father. So I just want us to pray for some minutes while I finish. I don't know. I want you to pray your own prayer. I'm not going to ask us what to pray. In fact, I'm not going to pray unless I feel I should pray something. I just wanted to take a moment and reflect on what you've heard. If you've been challenged, if you've been encouraged, if you've been inspired, if there's only one thing you pick from that message, maybe just trusting on God's timing. I don't know what you are going through. We're all going through things. Some are shared, perhaps some never even shared. Just take some moment to pray in your own words, in your own language, the way you want to pray, and say, Lord, I come to you with this specific thing. Help me. Lord, I'm struggling in this particular thing. Help me. Lord, help me be like that woman who have that simple childlike faith. Only if I could touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And the woman did, and truly she was made whole. And Lord, here is Jairus, desperate for his dying daughter. And he said to him, do not be afraid, only believe. Oh Lord, help us, Lord Jesus, to live in the truth and the reality of that word, that we will not be afraid. Lord, irrespective of what is going around us, Lord, when it seems as if we are drowning, when it seems as if you are going through fire, oh Lord, may we not doubt. May we not be afraid, but simply believe. Lord, you said when you go through waters, they shall not overflow you. When you go through fire, you shall not be burnt. Lord, we believe in your word. We hold on to your word. Help our unbelief. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. We trust you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Jesus. We trust in your timing. Help us not to run ahead. Help us not to be behind. Help us to keep in step with you. Help us to keep in step with your spirit. We just thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, for everyone in the congregation, Lord, this day, for everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, is that thing that is troubling them? What is that situation, oh God, that they've been trusting you for? What is that situation, oh Lord, that they've been putting their faith, or maybe some have even given up on? Lord, I pray, let hope arise. Let faith arise in your people. The faith to move mountain. The faith to say, this mountain be moved. I pray that you help us, Lord Jesus, to walk closely with you. Keep us, Lord, in that right position, in that right place of being close to you, Jesus. Help us by your Spirit. Lord, while on others you are calling, Lord, we know today you are calling on people. We know today you are still working miracles. We know even right now you are seeking for people. Please do not pass us by. Hear our cry, O God. Hear our prayers. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty precious name is prayed. Amen.